1 Timothy chapter 4, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do ask, Lord, that you'd help me as we teach down through this portion of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you'll, dear God, alert our minds and, Lord, energize our thinking for the next few minutes. And, oh my goodness, I look around and I tell everyone, come to Blessed Oak Baptist Church, you're going to shake calloused hands, and we have such a hardworking people. And for many of them, dear God, some have come straight from work, and they haven't even got home, dear God, to clean up or to eat. And Lord, I know sometimes the weariness of the week, it affects us a little bit. But I pray, Lord, that just for these few minutes, you'd really help us, dear God, to energize a hunger in our hearts. We've taken the time, we're here, we've invested the time, Lord. Help us to get what you have for us. And help me, dear Lord, to do well in the delivery of this message and to help the folks when it comes to their attention. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is an amazing portion of Scripture because we are in the latter times that is spoken of here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And when you are living in the latter times and then you read things about the latter times, it's not something you have to look down the road and think about and predict that will one day happen. We are living in the midst of the evidence of everything that's presented in this portion of Scripture. And so as I studied this, I thought to myself, I am an eyewitness to these things. Paul was used to write these things prophetically. We stand as eyewitnesses to the latter days. I will say it again because it's good to be reminded. I believe we are right now the raptured generation. I believe I'm preaching to the raptured generation. I believe young people in your lifetime, you'll see Jesus Christ come back again. And you say, well, what if he doesn't? You'll still be glad that you believe that every day of your life. It'll help you to live right and do right. And I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. And so let's just keep our eyes on Jesus. And I think his hand's on the doorknob, and it may even be turning a little bit right now. And we see these things happening in America, and my goodness. Now notice what it says here. And this is good because we can talk about all of the things, as in the days of Noah, we can talk about all of the things that are going to be going on in the lost world during the latter days. But this portion of Scripture is a warning to born-again Christians, because even amongst God's people, some things are happening that are evidences of the last days. As we study these, please, please, just ask God, don't let that be me. Don't let me be a part of this falling away. Don't let me be seduced by seducing spirits. Don't let me start to begin to believe doctrines of devils, because we'll see that takes a man away from the faith, away from their faith, and back into the world. And so this is what our focus for tonight. Now the Spirit, capital S, who's that talking about? Now let's just stop and kind of ponder. Let's not run through by that first phrase. Now the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly. And so now we see that what we're about to hear is energized by the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit that's delivering, if you'll let me say this warning, okay? He's saying this. Now I'll read the verse in a second, but he's basically, the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness while I'm reading this. He's going to say amen to it. He's going to energize it in your heart. He's going to put an exclamation. But what he's going to do is do two things. He's going to tell you that there are two things that will lure Christians from the true faith in the latter times. And this warning comes expressly from the Spirit of God. Now let's read with that thought. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some, thank God not all, amen. Folks, don't fall for this lie that everybody's abandoned the faith. Don't get the Elijah syndrome. I'm the only one that hasn't. Some's going to go, but Lord, don't let it be me. Don't let it be me. But some shall depart from the faith. Why did they do that? What causes this? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, it's important if we're going to safeguard ourselves that we understand what these two things are, right? Now, folks, let me just say this. Let me say it again, and then you tell me where or who is behind these two things. If I say seducing, small s, it was capital a minute ago, now it's small s. When I say seducing spirits and I say doctrines of devils, listen, is this coming from God? These things coming from God? Are they coming right out of the pit of hell? Are they being hatched in the mind of Satan? Are they energized through his ranks? Devils and spirits, fallen angels that are doing his. And now, where's this coming from? That's where it's coming from. It's very, very important that we as Christians learn to identify something, not only identify what it is, but identify the source where it's coming from. And so that's what the Bible does. He puts a big spotlight on it. He said the Holy Spirit is going to warn you about something, and he's going to warn you about demonic activity that's going to be alive and well in the last days. And the devil's going to send out seducing spirits, and he's going to begin to propagate doctrines of devils that are designed to cause people to leave the faith. And this, again, is not, listen, you can't leave something you don't have. I'm going to talk about losing your salvation. I'm talking about bailing out on Jesus. I'm talking about quitting church. I'm talking about beginning to adopt and believe some teachings. That's what doctrine is teachings. To begin to believe some teachings that takes you out of the true faith into a false faith, a counterfeit faith that neutralizes your effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days. Please listen to me. Please hear what I'm going to say here. We may not get much past this tonight because I feel a preaching spell coming on about these. We need to lift up our voice like a trumpet and point out these things and say, folks, listen, I'm tired of watching good people. I mean good people. People that a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago sat in this church and I would have thought would have been here till they die. And I'll tell you why they're not. Watch this. I'll tell you why they're not. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Now, if you go to them, they're going to have a laundry list of people to blame. But I promise you, if you get down to the core of it, it's seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That is what is bleeding off the church of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And so, what are these things? All right, preacher, let's just look at them. I think you ought to interpret the Bible by what it says. Seducing spirits. Think about that word seducing. Seducing spirits means wandering or misleading spirits. Watch this. That are skilled in seduction. Now think about that word seduction. These spirits appeal to the carnality of a Christian. You know how that you seduce somebody? You tantalize their flesh. You energize their flesh. You excite their flesh. You turn Christianity from being spirit-based to fleshly-based. Now these spirits appeal to the carnality of a Christian. No wonder they have such a grand following. Because more and more Christians prefer to be carnal than spiritual. And so because of that, they are more effective at what they do. Watch this. They attack sound Christian principles and precepts that protect the morality of the local New Testament church. Now, I'm going to give you some specifics here in a minute. But think about this. I believe that seducing spirits have the purpose of getting you to believe that there's principles and precepts in the Bible that are there for your protection when it comes to morality. That's no longer important, and as they would say, no longer relevant because of the shift or the change in the culture. And so what they're going to do is they're going to weaken, watch this, try to weaken the purity of the church, the morality of the church, by introducing and by introducing things that are seductive and that appeal to the flesh and get Christians more concerned about the flesh and interested in the flesh and more fleshly. And anytime you get a Christian heading in that direction, you've got them heading away from the true faith. Now, let me just give you some for instances, okay? And people that are preaching, by the way, the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now that Bible is, that verse presents what I would call a Bible principle or precept. That verse does not include a list of specific commands. It doesn't give you the laundry list of how or what those things that are provisions for the flesh will be. Folks, there are direct commands and then there's principles. And principles are more umbrella in effect, where commands are more specific. You don't have to wonder what a command says. It's very specific. Thou shalt not steal. Boom, there you go. If you steal, but principles and precepts are more of an umbrella effect. And it's saying this, make no provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Every single one of us are going to have to spend the journey of life inside these bodies, these fleshly bodies. And our spirit will war against the flesh, and our flesh will war against the spirit. If I can make it very simple, you want to talk about old man, new man, and all of that teaching in the Bible? Let me just give you. The new man is your reborn spirit. The old man is your old flesh. And your flesh has appetites that are ungodly and sometimes want things that are either bad for it or wrong for it to do or outright sinful for it to do. And what you have to understand is that when you have seducing spirits, they're going to come to you and saying, you know what, that preacher and that church with their legalistic view and their list of do's and don'ts, you know what they're doing? They are keeping you from enjoying life and from enjoying, and so the things that are being attacked in our independent fundamental Baptist separated churches are things that are principles of protection to keep you moral. Okay, so what's the first thing and the most obvious thing that seems like this new wave Christianity is going after and these seducing spirits are attacked in the minds of young ladies and young men, but I think especially work on young ladies, is this matter of modesty. And you know what? It just seems like, now why wouldn't a seducing spirit, watch this, who's more interested in destroying the moral fiber and the purity of the church, why wouldn't that seducing spirit work in our churches to try to convince both ladies and young ladies that the biblical boundaries of modesty are no longer relevant or important in this day and age? And so all of a sudden, our young ladies and our young men, unfortunately, start dressing more provocatively and more fleshly and in more seductively. Come on. And they build an appetite against that. And then somebody gets up in a pulpit that's got some sense and you know what, calls it for what it is. And then, you know what, all of a sudden you went from being their favorite preacher to their least favorite preacher. But you know what, you ought to thank God that you got a pastor that doesn't. Okay, parents, don't give up on this. Don't back out on this. Oh, well, it doesn't affect. Yes, I'm going to tell you what, you start seeing a shift in dress, you'll start seeing a shift in morals. It always goes hand. I said it always goes hand in hand. Okay, because seducing spirits is going to come and just say, you know, I mean, folks, come on, we're easy targets. Okay, not everybody dresses like Christians anymore. We weren't as easy a target in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. We weren't, because pretty much the whole culture at least had some common sense when it came to decency and modesty. But now we dress the way everybody used to dress, and now we're extremists just because we haven't followed the seducing spirit. Okay, so modesty all of a sudden is under attack. Watch this. Young people, please hear what I'm going to say. You know I love you. You know I'm for you. But courtship principles designed to deliver young people purely to the marriage altar are then the next thing that goes under attack. And all of a sudden, and I've watched it. I've watched young people come up through our system and they get this in their heart and they get a caustic spirit about it, about this idea of, you know what, well, I don't see anything wrong with dating and I don't see what the big deal is about no touch rules and they just don't trust us. Folks, listen to me. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is a seductive spirit that is trying to seduce you towards impurity and immorality, because those things do work. Bible principles, there's Bible principles that if you'll follow them will deliver you to the marriage altar pure and clean. And so those principles are attacked. Matter of fact, there's a great collection of those principles in a little booklet called Seven Royal Laws of Courtship. I know the author personally. I can recommend it without hesitation, reserve. I'll say it. I say it in the introduction of your book, and I'll say it till I die, and you'll never find an exception. You find me a young person that will dedicate themselves to those seven principles and implement those seven principles in their life. And you know what? They'll make it to the marriage altar pure and clean, marrying the right person. You show me young people that disregard those Bible principles, whether it's one, two, three, or all seven of them, and I will show you a young person that usually ends up in a disastrous situation. It's just flat true. Please don't let the seducing spirit sit there on your shoulder right now saying, yeah, but I'm the exception. You're not the exception. You are not the... I'd like to see some of our young people just kind of get that book, and instead of acting like it's, you know, toxic waste, grab a hold of that thing and say, you know what, I can mess up a lot of things in my life, but one thing I better get right is I better marry within the perfect will of God. And you know what, I'm going to have enough sense to read this. And if anything that I've said in that booklet, if you can bring Bible verses to show me that I'm wrong, I promise you I'll buy back every book I can get and I'll change it. But don't just say, well, I don't agree with it. That's too easy. I put the verses in every chapter. I bring Bible. If you're going to disagree with it, then trot your Bible along with it. That's what my challenge has been. And you know what? I have a lot of people whine and moan and complain about it. I just never have them show up with a Bible to do it. Now, trust me on this, okay? Trust me on this, please. I just kind of feel this way. Let me just say this. And this is a two-edged sword. Young people, it's a two-edged sword. Number one, I feel like if any young people in America end up marrying right, it ought to be young people that are under the ministry of Pastor Jerry Ross. I'm just flat telling you, because I think I've written, and I think I've helped more young people outside of this church than you can keep track of. I need you to buy in on it. But let me say this also, this is fair warning. Why wouldn't the devil go harder after my teens? Okay, I mean, I'm just flat telling you. Why wouldn't he go harder after y'all? Well, say, preacher, thanks a lot. I know. Oh, here's the seducing spirit. Oh, it doesn't matter if you hold hands. Here's the seducing spirit, you know. They're Instagramming you, you know. Oh, it doesn't matter if you, oh, good night. They think if you kiss before you get married, it's like you're a harlot. You know, all the extreme exaggeration. All right, you listen to me. I'm no dummy, okay? You go ahead and start holding hands, and that's going to get old quick. Come on. And you're not going to be satisfied with just a hand. All right, come on now. Come on. Might as well get down to where it's at. Amen. You know, and it'll be long that you're going to need something else. That's how the old flesh works. You open the door. And what I'm saying is, please, please, don't argue with me, because I'm right. I'm right because the Bible's right. There's no way you can win this argument because you're trying to argue against principles of the Bible. Now, what I'm saying is, though, here they come. I mean, they lurk on the fringe of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They find their way through Facebook and other communications into the hearts of our young people. I mean, there's always people out there that want to condemn. But watch this. Watch this. Check out their morality record. How are they doing? I mean, all these little experts running around. They still pure? Come on, put your money where your mouth is. All right, what I'm saying is, listen, young people, anything that is trying to get into your life and talk you out of Bible principles that are there for your protection. Preacher, I don't like the fences. I know that. I know that. And I'm not even upset with you about that. But they're for your safety. They're not there to keep you in. They're there to keep the devil out. And you know what? If you'll just stay in there and do your time, one of these days on your marriage day, the gate's going to open. Amen. Praise God. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Amen. And you can have a wonderful, enjoyable life, because within the bounds of marriage, God created all of these things for our pleasure and for our own good. But don't listen to the lies of the devil. Keep it within the boundaries of where it's supposed to be. Come on now. Now, watch this. Here's the type of seducing spirits. They come to you and they're always pecking away at the things that are there to protect your morality. Seducers. Watch this. I'm going to say it again here. I'm going to hit it one more time. See how I do, you know. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And parents, you're going to have to make your decisions. I get it. You know what? You're the authority in your home, Daddy. But remember, you're going to stand before God as having been the authority in your home. And listen, I didn't bring mine out here. You hand a 13, 14, 15, 6-year-old kid a smartphone with no safeguards, no limitations. I'm going to say something. You're going to think that's extreme. I promise you what I'm going to say is not extreme. We might as well take a bucket of grenades back to the nursery, dump them on the floor and let the kids play with them and hope that one of those little rascals don't pull the pin. And that is no exaggeration. Sooner or later, one of those little rascals is going to pull the pin. They're going to mess around with that long enough to pull the pin. And not only are they going to get blown up, they're going to blow up some other people with them. And I'm, okay, don't believe me. I know, you're the expert. I know. But you hand a kid a phone with internet access as a teenager and the ability to get on these chat rooms and ability. And no kid in this church ought to be on Instagram. Not one child should be on Instagram in here. You say, well, I'm on it and it doesn't hurt me. Okay, then good. Let's go to your account. Come on, bring it back. I'm not talking about after you erase everything. Let's go right now with your phone and let's look at your account. Come on, you can share it with the preacher. I'm sure that all you're doing is sharing Bible verses. You know, pictures of you in modest apparel. I'm sure that's all it is, man. That's all that's going on there. You know, the preacher's just an old fogey. I get it. Listen, I'm not dumb. Parents, don't be dumb. No, I'm just, you handed them a grenade, and they're going to pull the pin. I don't care the best of the best of the best. They're going to mess up with it. They don't need it. They don't need it. Somehow I made it. All the way to adulthood without a cell phone. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how my whole generation. We were so mistreated. We missed so much. You know, I said it again. Young people that have them right now, they're not doing real good. Okay. I'm just, come on. I love them. But you know what? You know what's so discouraging as a preacher? Fighting the devil and fighting like the devil for these kids and then have a parent walk over and hand them a smartphone. I just think, are you serious? You just made it almost impossible for me to help your kid. You killed me. Now, you know what? I understand kids get driver's license and y'all are going to make decisions on that, but you know what? That doesn't mean you have to hand them a phone that has all the capabilities of and access to things that they have no business. It's going to kill them. It's going to kill them. All right, so there I go. Now, seducing spirits, all right? So they're coming. They're coming in this generation. All right? Preacher, I don't think you're right. All right, okay, let's see here. What did I just cover? All right, every Christian that used to be in here that believed at some point that they ought to be able to change their dress and didn't like the dating things and wanted all the technology, where are they at? Where are they at? They're stronger in their faith. They're winning souls. They're in good Bible preaching churches. Now listen to me because I want to help you with something. Every belief system produces something. Well, preacher, I don't agree with you. I believe this instead. Okay, every belief system produces something. You know what? The things that we teach and propagate here, if you watch it, produces young people, if they'll follow it, that end up having an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ and win souls to Christ and live. Listen, you can criticize our philosophy and our belief system, but it produces the right things. You know why? Because whether or not you want to admit it or not, it's based on the Word of God. But when you begin to listen to seducing spirits, you know what you do? You produce kids that aren't, maybe they're good kids, but they're not godly kids. And honestly, they are neutralized as far as their effectiveness for the kingdom of God. They do not make a difference in this world for Jesus and for lost souls. They just don't. And so before you defend what you believe about things, see what it produces. And then make sure that you decide that you're going to believe things that produce the right thing. Quickly, I'll take 3 or 4 minutes on this slide. Doctrines of devils. I won't get into all of these. See, it's not just seducing spirits that are there to try to break down those principles, Bible principles that protect. And there's more than just the three I brought up, but these are my three that makes people the most mad. So those are the ones I wanted to talk about. So. But also doctrines of devils. Listen, both of these are satanic in their origin. Both are designed to lure Christians from the true faith into a counterfeit faith. And both are designed to neutralize Christians in their effectiveness for Jesus Christ. So the devil has certain doctrines or teachings that he's introducing into churches that is neutralizing the evangelistic fervor in the church house. Calvinism. You know I am a dedicated enemy of that false doctrine. Folks, I don't agree with one of their points. Are you a one-point Calvinist, two-point Calvinist? I'm a zero-point Calvinist. I don't agree with anything. I mean it from one on. It's defective from the beginning. Right out of the gate, it's defective. And what I'm saying is this. You know what, folks? Oh, I don't see what the big deal is. And all right, you watch what happens to a church or an individual that begins to full-heartedly buy into hyper-Calvinism. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, man, if this whole thing was set up before the world was even founded, and everybody that's going to be saved is going to be saved, and everybody's not, why am I knocking myself out? Why go pick up a track? Why have soul winning? Why run a bus? I mean, God's got it all figured out. He already chose the ones Jesus died for and the ones that he didn't. And the ones he didn't couldn't get saved if they wanted to get saved. So if it's all right, I mean, we're just, watch this, folks. What a sad doctrine. We're just actors on a stage, just following a meaningless script because everything's already decided. Now, folks, listen to me. There's a difference between God foreknowledge, God knowing who would and who wouldn't, and God predetermining who would and who wouldn't. And so be very careful. You know what those are? You know what that is? I'm here. I will say it out loud. The Calvi God is not the God of the Bible. It's doctrines of devils. I know where these things are hatched. Lordship, salvation. Be careful about this. I know you're as frustrated as I am sometimes, but watch this. Well, here's a statement. Well, if God's not Lord of... Now, be careful. You're going to amen this if you're not careful. I'm just warning you, okay? If God's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. Boy, that makes good preaching, man. Oh, wait a minute. Is God Lord of all everything in your life? And was he from the moment you received Jesus as your Savior? Then what happened to growth in grace? And sometimes, hey, come on, folks. It's a glorified work salvation. I know what they're saying, but you got to be careful. Listen, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. Nothing, not a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Worldly Christianity, this contemporary Christianity movement, the casual Christianity movement, what are these? They're folks, they're all designed, if you'll put them under the microscope, we're done. But they're all designed to move people away, watch this, from both morality and purity, which the Church of Jesus Christ is to be, and also for true-hearted effectiveness when it comes to impacting the world with the gospel. And if you've got a seducing spirit that's after you, you need to recognize where it came from and tell it to go back there. And I mean rebuke it in the name of the Lord. And just trust. Just trust your mom and dad and trust your preacher and trust the Word of God and trust Bible principles. It's going to get you where you want to go. Try to find a shortcut. You know what? You're going to find out. Most shortcuts are really long cuts. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. Speak to our hearts, God. Lord, please. I want to see if I can pray a hedge around our young people, and then I'm going to try to preach a hedge around our young people. Man, I'm fully invested in these kids. I love them like I love my own life, like I love my own soul, my own heart. And God, I want so badly for everything that you've created them to be, for them to get there, and that special person you've created for them, that they'll have that. And Lord, that they can spend the rest of their life just saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Even when I didn't really understand it, even sometimes when I got upset, and even sometimes when I didn't really even agree, I just decided I was just going to trust the Word of God and its principles and its precepts and trust God to work things out. And Lord, what a good ending. What a good ending. Help us, Lord. Guard our church and guard our young people and guard our families against seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, we pray in Jesus' name.